Previously on Worlds Away.
Leela, Arno, Mara, Nasir, what happened? The image went dark. Can you still read me?
We copy. We made it into the caves and are proceeding.
If you just hang tight there, I could lure it away, get this thing off your back.
I didn't want to have to do this. Cassandra, execute backup plan Alpha. And so I'm going to use my plans within plans.
You. Oh, fuck yeah.
Dr. Stone, you're not getting off the ship.
I can see that now.
We need your help in order to save the people on that base. Are you going to cooperate, or are you going to continue to attempt to interfere and waste our time trying to keep you safe?
Nasir, you see what looks like movement near a large rock toward the back of the room you're in.
I'm going to keep my shotgun trained at the space in front of Nasir's hands, and if it looks like it's going to open its mouth or take any sort of aggressive action, I'm going to shoot.
Nasir, cave creatures are not pets.
You see that this creature, the sort of armored rolling creature, starts pushing or rolling this lobe of the cactus across the ground toward you, Nasir.
Nasir, I think it's giving you a gift.
In a few months, the cave creatures won't have to worry about predators at all, because they'll most likely cease to exist.
Are they wrong?
How do you mean?
Is the FIV wrong? Is the desire to save this planet incorrect?
Accident, design, let's call it a consequence.
Consequence?
We interfere here, something happens. We don't interfere here, something happens. One way or another, it's a consequence. And to presume that we know what the consequences of all of our actions are is perhaps overestimating ourselves. But the point I mean to make is we weren't there, and there could have been a sufficiently advanced society that was also faced with a decision much like ours, and maybe we're the consequence of that.
There's no use trying to continue to mislead me. So what I'm going to propose is that we cut to the chase. You have 30 seconds to turn off whatever is interfering with our sensor readings of your ship. Otherwise, I'm going to put a bullet right between her eyes.
And at this point, you see a video transmission come through in addition to the audio. And you see the same table that you saw in the original video. But this time, there is a gun pointed at the head of Eliza Stone.
That is a 7. That is a 7.
Dude,
four
you gotta
plus
put the...
3 is 7. No. You gotta see it just the way it happens at the table. For those of you watching at home, I rolled a 4, but I have a plus 3. That is a 7.
Oh my god.
Sufficient.
Sufficient. For now. But if I get even a hint that you were lying to me...
Can I interrupt?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Adam, this is no longer a negotiation. You're talking to Arno Hines. If even one of those hostages is killed, the next transmission will be offering our condolences to their families because the meteor hit and we were unable to do anything. Have a good day. And I end the transmission.
Welcome to Worlds Away, an actual play storytelling podcast. I am your game master, John Ossup, and here with me, we've got Haley Daria.
Hello.
Lauren Wilbanks.
Weird body pain.
Michael Morales.
I need a second to recover. Lauren just stole mine.
Ooh.
It's just being over 30. I didn't steal being over 30 from you.
Last night, I was just brushing my teeth, and it felt like one of the muscles got ripped out of my neck. It was really weird. But then I just went to bed and it was normal. So, good times. Moshtara.
40 is when it doesn't go back to normal.
Mission accomplished.
Fuck yeah. A phrase that has never gone wrong. All right, team. Where we last left off, the four of you had just ended abruptly your call with Adam, who is one of the new residents of the research station here on Kairos. And the four of you are standing outside of an airlock that opens into that research facility. From the schematic that you were provided, you know that the airlock leads into a hallway in the smaller of the two buildings of the compound, which are both connected by a sort of sky bridge that runs between them. Halfway down the hallway where the airlock opens, there's a left-hand turn onto that sky bridge. And along the right side, there are several doors into research labs, storage areas, maybe a bathroom or a locker room outside of the labs. But at the far end of the hallway, there's a right-hand turn that leads into the room containing the facility's environmental controls, as well as the equipment that communicates with the orbital platform. So standing outside of this airlock, what do we see the four of you do next?
I think the first thing I do is contact the Valiant.
Okay, and is there anyone in particular you're trying to call on the Valiant?
I mean, I think that this is, I need Captain Alba.
Okay, so I think the last thing that happened is you sent the transmission, right? Sort of the message out to the Verge, to the sort of press corps of the Verge, announcing your intention to comply with the hostage taker's demands and to resolve this peacefully. And so I think after a... Yeah, go ahead.
I want to name. I was very specific with my language. And what I said was, is we would destroy the asteroid and try to resolve this peacefully.
Yeah. That is what you said. That's true. And I think you hear a beep as you sort of switch the comms over to Captain Alba. And then you hear her come through your suit headset. And she says, Nasir, I heard the message. What do you need us to do?
We need to be prepared to utilize the platform to stop the asteroid in the manner that Dr. Stone described. We should loop in Charlie and Dr. Stone, and the Valiant should immediately head for the platform and begin preparations to stop the asteroid.
We're already on it. I'll prepare to take off immediately. I'll patch in Charlie now. They've been working with Dr. Stone on a solution here. And after a kind of second of silence, you hear Charlie's voice come through the comms and they say, Nasir, are you there?
I'm here.
I've been working with Dr. Stone. We've prepared a projection for the platform to hit the asteroid. If we launch the ship now, we can try to use the Valiant as an outboard engine, try to move the platform into position. Still need to figure out how to overload the platform's reactor, but at least we'll be making some progress. If we're up at the platform, though, you'll be stuck on the surface. If something goes wrong, we might not be able to get you out.
Everyone on the team heard that, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just sort of look to everyone, and barring any sort of severe reaction, understood.
I think there's just kind of a silence, and then Charlie says, got it, Nasir, we'll get on it. And then the line goes dead.
Nasir?
Yes, Lieutenant?
This is a challenging predicament we're in.
I would agree.
No, Nasir, I can't kill them now.
I think I look him dead in the eyes.
And before you respond, and I see that look, no, take your war-tinted goggles off for just a second. Nasir, I'm not saying I want to kill them. I'm saying, Nasir, in a situation where there is a hostage whose life is at stake here, I can't anymore. Because the Verge just heard you say that we were going to handle this non-violently.
I understand. And I apologize for taking moves off the table.
I think that sets Arno off, and you see him visibly flinch at that phrase. And I think he responds, the table changed. We'll adapt accordingly. I think our best course of action is to start limiting their choices as well. We need to regain some of the control in this situation.
And how do we do that?
I think we need to get into the control room and start sabotaging the base a bit. We can funnel them into the same physical location. It'll be easier to manage the situation if they're all in one place, both in terms of the hostages and the hostage takers. If they're spread out, there might be more of them than there are us. I don't know, but there's a lot of ground to cover. We should try to direct them all into the same room if possible. Dr. Belova, it wouldn't be unlike our situation with Marvin, but at a larger scale. He says, knowing he got his name wrong.
I'm concerned about funneling all of the FIV operatives in one room with all of the people that they've vowed to kill if anything goes wrong. Wouldn't it be smarter to try to pick them off one by one?
If by picking them off you mean neutralize them so they don't hurt anybody, then if we get the opportunity, that's fine. But with this many people, I don't know that we're going to have the luxury of being able to plan out their movements perfectly. Maybe we get the opportunity to move everybody into a room and we separate some of these hostage takers and we can neutralize those individuals. But some mix of hostage takers and hostages are going to be in the same place. And we're going to need to force their hands somehow. I hope that the chaos gives us an opportunity to neutralize all of them, frankly.
Okay. So if we can use the environmentals and maybe electronics or other systems to narrow down their range, that still leaves the question of how exactly we're neutralizing them.
We just need to disarm them. I don't care if they're banged up a little bit or bruised, but they need to be able to walk out of this situation too.
It would help if we knew how many there were. Is that something we can figure out by hacking into their systems? I'm sure they have security feeds.
We should be able to determine how many people are in the station, either because they're utilizing suits or, more likely, just by getting readings from the environmental systems.
I agree. Environmental readings or picking up some of their comms, which I assume they have on.
Nasir, if we're going to cause a disruption and Adam calls again, please let me take the call this time.
With pleasure, Lieutenant.
All right. So at this point, do you head to the airlock?
Yeah, I think so. We need to get more information.
And we have to move. Like, we do have kind of a little bit of a time restriction.
Yeah. So I think we see you all look up, and then maybe in a kind of reverse shot, we see the Valiant's engines come to life and lift off from the planet's surface and begin moving into the clouds. I think you step up to the door of this airlock, and I think one thing that strikes you is that the door on the outside, at least, doesn't have readily available, at least, a slate or anything to use to control it. I had mentioned that the power is out for this structure, but there is one of those kind of crank wheels with the little handle coming out from it that you could turn, sort of the, again, you know,
like a
different version
vault
of those submarine doors. Yeah, like bank vault, but the round wheels that you can spin with the handle. And I think you're able to open it up, and there's kind of a light creak and the door opens up. Inside the airlock, you see that there is some power to a slate on the wall that, kind of similar to the slate on the Amity, has a large button to pressurize the airlock. Other than that, though, there's no kind of detailed information. This isn't a ship. There's no kind of readings of their systems, but you do have the ability to pressurize the airlock. Is there anything else that you do in sort of preparing before you do that, or do you just go ahead and press the button?
How many suits do we see in the airlock, or spaces for suits?
Inside this airlock, there's no suits. So this kind of seems a little different than the ship, in that maybe there the reason why they were stored in the airlock was because space is at a premium. Here, with it being on a planetary surface and it not going out to space, but rather a different atmosphere, it's maybe it's just different constraints. That doesn't mean that there's not information to be gained, though, if you have a question that you're trying to figure out.
Is there a way for me to tell if somebody is currently outside and could use this airlock to come in from behind us while we're inside?
Ah, I see. So I don't think you have to roll for that. I'll just tell you the answer, because I don't think there's any kind of specific insight that you can gain other than the information you already have, which is that, I mean, in this airlock, you don't see any suits. And I think that the whole reason why you had planned to go through this way is that you understood that this access tunnel hadn't been used because there are other entrances up top on the top of the cliff where the facility is, and that's where the landing pad for these automated shuttles is, or where a ship would come to resupply or switch personnel. The only reason why you landed sort of at a distance is to get here undetected. And so could somebody come up behind you here? I think the answer to that's yes, right? If somebody knew to come in from behind you and was down on the in the valley that you came from at the bottom of the cliff face, that is a way that they could get up there and sort of come in from behind. But I don't think that there's any evidence that anyone has ventured out that way. It seems like you were as you were walking up the stairs, part of it kind of collapsing. It seems like this has not really been used or maintained given those changes.
Okay. Yeah, that's helpful.
Anything else, or do you go ahead and pressurize?
Yeah, I'm just wondering for the group if there's any like precautions that we want to take to cover our rear as we go in.
You definitely try to like bar the door or do something like that. Mm. Of course, that does, you know, slow has some negative effects too. But you could definitely try to do something like that.
Like if you want me to try to hack when we get on the other side of the airlock, if you want me to try to hack one of the doors so it won't reopen, we could do that. But then to John's point, we're kind of at a time crunch.
Okay, so let me try to split the baby on this then. John, can I just take steps to, as we're leaving the space, make it look like it hadn't been recently used?
Yeah, sure. Okay. If you're going to do that after you've opened the door to the outside, if that makes sense, I think we should play that out. But I'll definitely let you roll for that to see if that's successful.
Okay.
And I think, you know, again, not to say that if you fail, that means that you're automatically detected, but just that, you know, your precautions didn't work at least.
That's fine.
All right. So I think with that, maybe you kind of... And how are you all standing in the airlock? Are you all armed? What does this look like as you are sort of prepared to press the button and enter the facility?
I think I've directed everybody to like either side of the door such that if there's like something waiting on the other side, they wouldn't have like a clear shot of whoever's on the other side of the door.
Okay.
We hope that this is an unattended entrance, but we really don't know.
We're inside the oxygen now, yeah?
Not yet. You're about to be if you press the button. Mara, I think you had your scanner, though, and I think last episode I had mentioned maybe it's kind of detecting movement, right? And that's what you're picking up on that screen. And you were getting some kind of faint signals, but nothing in the proximity of the door right now.
Right.
So at least from that, you know, unless they're lying in wait and they already knew you were coming, I think you think that it's the risk is low. So, Arna, I think maybe you see everybody queued up and in position as you described it. And do you have a weapon in your hand, or is Arna armed right now?
Yeah, I still have the shotgun.
Okay. So maybe you're holding that and then you reach over with your left hand, and without looking toward the pad, you're kind of still focused on the door. You tap the button to pressurize.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Arna's left-handed. He would have reached with his right.
Okay. You're right. I'm wrong. I'm sorry for my disrespect of the continuity.
That's okay.
Sinister erasure.
I actually don't know if that's in line with the continuity, but I'm left-handed either, and I want my character to be in this case.
I think it is now. That is canon. All right. So you do that. The experience inside this airlock, though, is a bit different than how we've described it previously. Because unlike in space, there's already an atmosphere here. It's just something that you cannot breathe. So instead of the pressure slowly building up from zero and you kind of hearing and feeling that, you feel and hear the air being pulled out of this room and replaced with a new atmosphere. And I think at first you're probably a little bit worried about the noise, because at least from inside this room, it sounds like there is a strong wind buffeting your suits. But Mara, you're looking down at the scanner and maybe everyone's kind of sharing some glances. And you don't detect any movement on that scanner. And eventually the noise, but also the fizzing sounds that you heard from the suit joints when you were outside, that dies down as the pressure in the airlock stabilizes. And then you see a green light indicate on the slate next to the door into the facility. Who's leading the group in, or how do you approach moving into the hallway?
I think it might be like Arno... But I think Mara's also near the front as she has the slate, the scanner and sensor, and is like eyeing the situation via electronics.
I think Leela might be last, keeping an eye on R6, as it were.
So I think you start to fan in. And Arno, I know that you wanted to sort of cover up your trail and prevent someone from detecting your use of the airlock. But I think one other thing happens before you're able to do that or before we face that issue. And that is, as you kind of start to move in, Mara, I think this kind of happens simultaneously, but you see a blip on your scanner showing some movement. And I think that all of you can faintly hear the sounds of footsteps and muffled discussion moving toward the corner where the control room is, as if they're about to turn and face down the hallway that you're entering. Do you retreat back into the airlock, or how are you, what are you doing to respond to this situation?
How many footsteps do we hear?
Or do I get
blips? It's more than one, but you can't tell for sure.
Okay.
I think if the blip is kind of like merging together, it seems like however many people there are, they're close together.
Right.
I know in like every single Star Wars movie, there's like crenellations in the wall where you can kind of crouch and hide so you can, you know, shoot the stormtroopers. Does this have that, or is this a more logically kind of, you know, straight walled?
I think we could definitely have some stormtrooper shooting gaps in the wall if we desire. So I think maybe opposite the airlock, there's what looks like it could be a storage room, and there is a sort of gap in the wall or a short stub hallway that I don't know if all of you would fit in there, but between that and the airlock, I think you all could hide if that's your intention to sort of see how this plays out.
I think Mara moves back to the airlock. Like, there's probably not enough time to completely get out of the spacesuit, especially not do it quietly. But I definitely think she takes off her helmet and sets that gently on the ground so she can both see on the tablet where these dots are moving and like pick them up, like hear them.
Is that true for everyone else? Are you all kind of ducking now, or what does this look like?
I'm ducking for now. But so in the event that they notice, in the event that they notice us, I'm going to take an action. I just want to put up.
Yeah, yeah.
So are you all ducking in back into the airlock? Because I was kind of thinking about making a run for the hallway across the thing.
Yeah, I think to John's point, we should probably split it two and two or something.
Well, I think Leela's going to run across to the hallway.
Is anyone else on Leela's side or the other three of you in the airlock?
I think Arno will too.
Okay. Mara, you and Nasir are in the airlock, and you're kind of looking at the scanner, and again, you removed your helmet. Leela, you and Arno are kind of standing with your back up against the short wall, and Arno, you have the shotgun in your hands. I think a second or two later, Mara, you see on the scanner the blips, and now it seems very clear there's two of them. Mm-hmm. Round the corner, and they're kind of walking the remaining 15 to 20 feet toward the sky bridge. So toward your direction, but also toward the sky bridge that connects the two buildings. And maybe Arno, you can just barely look out around the corner to sort of get a glimpse at this. And you see there are two figures walking down the hall, a large built, bald and clean shaven man with pale skin and silver gray eyes, and a short woman with medium brown skin and shoulder length black hair, and they appear to be moving toward again the entrance to the sky bridge. You can sort of faintly hear that they're talking. I think without trying to focus on it, you wouldn't really be able to make out what they're saying, but if you're trying to surveil the situation, I would allow you to roll for that.
I would like to surveil the situation.
And are you just doing that by trying to listen to what they're saying? Or what's your tactic here?
I'm trying to accomplish two things. I would like to listen to what they're saying, but I really want to observe to see if they've noticed that anybody's coming in. I really care more about their body language. Like, oh, they're walking. If it's a routine check or whatever, great. Let them keep on doing routine check. But if they're like posture changes or they seem to like notice we tracked some dirt on the way in or something, I care way more about that than whatever they're talking about.
All right. In that case, I think go ahead and roll plus calculating for scope it out.
That's a 7.
All right. So on a 7 for scope it out, your investigation does work, but your perception's a little dull, so you can only ask one question from the list. And I understand that some of these, like looking at it, I'll say are kind of getting at the inverse of what you're asking for. Yeah. And I would definitely give that to you if that makes sense. So if it's like, oh, what should I be on the lookout for? And the point is, have they detected us and they haven't? I think that that's included in that too. But I think there's a couple that could work here.
Who or what here could be a useful opportunity?
Mm. Ooh.
Interesting.
Spicy.
Okay. I think what you get from that is a couple things. And maybe this is actually, Mara, you're going to be the one that gets the information on this in that case. The thing that you notice about their pace, Arno, it seems like these two people know each other and are both, I'll put it this way, it seems like they're both on the same side of this, right? And it doesn't seem like one of them is a hostage and the other is one of these FIV operatives. And they're conversing tensely, but familiarly. And they are walking toward and rounding the corner. And I think what you hear faintly as they're rounding the corner to the walkway toward this sky bridge is the woman asks, "So, do you believe them?" And then the man replies, "Not at all. But if they're landing on the planet trying to get in here, they'll have to stop the asteroid either way." And then you hear the footsteps turn and go down the sort of passageway, the sky bridge across to the other larger building. Mara, I think looking at your scanner, you see the blips moving that way, sort of to the left from your perspective. But I think what you see is that the entire layout of this floor plan between where you are and the control room, so almost this entire, at least this level of the smaller building, once these two dots are moving, the kind of blurry readings that you were getting before, those drop to completely zero. So it seems like at least for a limited time right now, you might have a clear shot to get from the airlock to the control room and be able to work in there unimpeded.
I think Mara says to the rest of the group, "I think now's our only chance. We need to make a break for the environmental control room and shoot our shot." And I think she starts to like take off her suit.
Okay.
I follow suit.
I stay put. Or rather, I would like to be on the lookout to make sure that nobody else is going to come in towards the control room. I'd like to act as a guard for the people going into the control room.
Okay, so you want to stay in the hallway and sort of not ever round that final corner to the control room.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see that Leela will be super helpful inside the control room. So I think Leela and Arno will probably stay out.
Are you planning to stay on the airlock side or are you moving down the hallway closer to the control room in case you need to get in there?
Which one gives me the better view of someone coming in or walking towards the control room?
I think it's kind of tricky because if you're on the airlock side and they turned toward the control room and not toward the airlock, right? So if they're presenting a threat, you would then be behind them. So that would give you a pretty advantageous angle. However, you wouldn't be able to fall back into the control room or do anything to help Mara or Nasir if they are able to get away from you and round the corner. On the other hand, if they turn toward the airlock, then you would be right in front of them. So it just kind of depends on which you view as more important.
I'll stay on airlock side so that if they turn towards the control room, I'll have them from behind.
Okay.
I can stay outside the control room.
Oh, so you maybe you split up?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then if I have to be in close quarters with them, I can, like, I have other ways of trying to defend myself.
Fair enough. And I think maybe you have those, like, the fancy earpieces that will let you communicate by just whispering. Like, it'll come through clearly, even if you're sort of barely talking. So if you needed to transmit to each other, you still could.
We also have our hand signals, you know.
Oh, yeah. And the tapping that we developed as a group.
Is it just Morse code?
No, it's our thing.
It's Minerva code.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So before that happens, though, Arno, did you still want to, if you're on this side, cover up the airlock and sort of conceal it? I think that could be helpful if somebody turns toward your side and you maybe hide in one of these storage rooms. But obviously, if your plan is to have a confrontation, I'm not sure how much that matters. So it's up to you.
If they come down this way, I'm going to have a confrontation. I would like to be able to like act as quickly as possible. And so I don't think I'm going to make perfect enemy of the good over here. I would much rather be able to act quickly than like be hidden.
Okay. And you're not then trying to sort of follow through on the original plan and conceal your access to the airlock. Is that correct?
Yeah, in this case, if they come back while they're in the operations room, like they're going to see something or we're going to have to react to something. Okay. So, yeah.
Got it. So So then maybe you just shut the airlock door so that way if they look at it from a distance, it's not immediately obvious that
that's right.
Someone came in here, but I don't think you have to roll for that. Mara and Nasir, how are you moving down the hallway, or what does that look like?
Can I actually ask a question before Absolutely. We do that? What are we wearing under our spacesuits?
Obviously, that was going to be the question you asked.
Nothing. A tactical onesie.
Tactical naked.
I mean, I think it could be a tactical onesie, but I think the undersuit has probably advanced since, you know, the early 2000s. But, you know, I'm it's open to interpretation.
Still
I was just
neck.
Thinking like a tactical pant and a tank top kind of deal.
I mean, I said tops. Before this podcast even started, I said it's the future. We should all be naked. So it feels kind of rude that you're rubbing my face in it now.
I mean, if we want to be naked, we can be naked. I don't take issue with that, but that's like a very specific aesthetic for the
Yeah. I mean, it would put, I definitely think,
it
I
really
know that
changes
like,
the vibe I'm going for on this arc, you know?
The enemies
you know,
like, don't
it's
roll.
Very explicit.
But I feel like they should have disadvantage on anything that they want to do. If they see like international, galactically renowned, like Mara Belova and the icon, like Nasir. Baydok running at them in the buff, thangs thanging all out in the open. I'm just saying we should have some advantage on that. But like we've gone on a little bit with this bit, so I'll leave it right there.
The problem is in the future, if everyone's naked, I don't think that they would be disadvantaged. But for sure, I, John, the GM, am disadvantaged. So that definitely yeah. happened as a result of that. All right,
so
do we have a more a different
on.
Answer?
We're running.
Okay.
I think it's like light clothing, right? But like it is very much like... not more than you would be wearing at the gym, right? Like yeah. it's like probably form fitting, very thin.
Some Under Armour.
Yes, yeah, I think Under yeah. Armour is okay. pretty right.
Sorry for the brand. Oops.
It's a really good brand name. Not to speak on their product, but like the name is good.
That's an excellent name.
No endorsement.
Except for the shoes. It's kind of weird that I'm wearing Under Armour shoes, but anyway.
Are you it's actually
Under
wearing
Armour for
shoes
your Audi?
No, the concept of it.
Yeah, it's just like a weird
kind of over armor.
Right, it is. For
just
your feet.
Just armor.
The
Just
socks
armor.
Would be Under Armour.
Mm. All right. So I think we see you moving down the hallway.
Naked as the day we were born.
Flapping. Stop. Just flapping. Hims and hers flapping.
Hey, what's the temperature of the room, y'all? You'll have a better gauge on it than I would.
Shriveling.
I want to sneak up on these terrorists, but my dummy thick cheeks be clapping all the way down this metallic hallway.
I just want to know if Nasir is like flopping or if it's just kind of recessed and clammed up a little bit because there's a chill in the air.
Do you Holy want shit. To know? Like, is that like you're expressing desire to know that fact?
It could be tactically useful, yeah.
The real tactical turtleneck.
This is very serious.
I think it also makes a difference if the nips are hard because then sometimes people find it hard to like they'll just make eye contact with the nips.
Yeah, that's yeah. true.
Hmm.
I think your mother's going to have a great time with this episode.
Okay, so can we make it in the room? Can we please just get to the room?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So I think, Mara, you maybe are moving down the hallway. You have the scanner in hand. Yeah. Nasir, are you armed also, or do you have a weapon of some kind?
I mean, I don't have... Do I have to answer that now?
I'm just curious as to what this looks like. I'm not holding you to the gear slots. I'll put it that way.
I don't think that I have a gun out, no. I don't think I have a weapon out.
Okay, so it's just like sneaking is the top priority?
Yes.
So I think maybe you get to the opening to the hallway that leads to the left, the one that's the sky bridge. And I think looking down the hallway, you see that there are these right triangle shaped windows that overlook the top of this cliff and out into the valley that you just crossed. And they're kind of like one's nested in the other to make a rectangle bay of windows going down this hallway. It's a kind of interesting shape, but looking out the window, it's kind of diminished because everything you're seeing is that dreary red orange color that we described the surface with. So there's not a lot of contrast of what you're seeing outside it. But there did seem to be a focus on being able to see outside of this compound at least. And maybe you pause for a second. I think you can hear the footsteps continuing down in the distance, maybe down an internal hallway inside the larger building and some muffled conversation. And then maybe one and the other of you sort of darts across as fast as possible. And then you round the corner to this control room. As you open the door into the control room, you're again greeted by a large bay of windows. This one's looking out into the cliffs, but unlike the kind of right triangle shaped ones of the sky bridge, These are just angled rectangular panes. And in front of that bay of windows, there's a curved desk that is covered in screens monitoring various systems of the research station. And quickly surveying them, you can see some that look like environmental controls. So maybe these are some things that, Nasir, you might be familiar with from your work on Aventine. But you also see what looks like a communication system and a system that neither of you are familiar with, but appears to be related to the automated shuttles that resupply the station from the orbital platform. And so as you enter the room, what happens next?
So I think we probably want to divide and conquer. So I think Mara appraises a scene and says, Nasir, it seems like over there we can manipulate the environmental system, but I might spend some time looking at the automated shuttle relay. If we can rig this to ascend and descend to our liking, we might be able to move the hostages off of the planet to the orbital platform where the Valiant will be waiting. And Mara thinks she got a lucky break with this one.
Aren't we currently in the process of rigging that orbital platform to explode and destroy an asteroid?
Excellent point, Nasir. And I think that she kind of turns on her comms to see if she can get to Charlie. And she says, Charlie, can you read me?
It's a little faint, but I can hear you, Mara.
We're trying to examine all possible options to remove the hostages from this planet. Would it be possible, would it be safe to bring them up to the orbital platform for extraction using the Valiant? I know we're trying to turn the orbital platform into a bomb right now. We're just working with few resources.
I mean, safe, I'm not sure I'd say that, but as long as they're not on the platform when it hits the asteroid or explodes, they should be okay, and it may be safer up here than it is down there.
It might be our best option right now, but let's see if that's even doable. Thank you.
Understood. We'll be ready.
So I think that's Mara's intent, right? Rolling some hacking and cracking, but I want to be able to kind of manipulate the shuttles at will such that we can get on, it can take people up, and whatever atmospheric kind of conditions need to be, I want it to be stable to move all those people.
Got it. So I think looking at these systems and what you've described, I think there's a few things that you've specifically mentioned wanting to do. So Nasir, you mentioned wanting to manipulate the environmental system and Mara dealing with the shuttles in some way. I think there's also information to be gathered from these systems. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the order of operations we want to do this in. You know, I would definitely allow some people to roll different things and have different results. I think that it would take probably two different roles to manipulate the shuttle system versus the environmentals.
Right.
But if one of you wanted to start with the information gathering and then we can kind of do act quick roles, seems like the best thing, unless someone has a playbook move for this to deal with the systems. That kind of makes sense to me, at least if what we're trying to do is assess the situation, then act on that information.
I think it makes sense. Mara, you mentioned their communication systems to be able to track them. If you can tap us into their communication systems, that gives us the most information. And then from there, I know what I need to do to be able to manipulate the environmental systems to lock them in or manipulate them. And you can get to hacking and cracking on the shuttle platform.
Yeah, that sounds perfectly fine.
Okay. And I think if you do scope it out, like maybe you would get information from a bunch of the comms seems like an obvious one, but maybe you'd get information from all three of these systems.
Yeah. I just want to name, so there are potential playbook rules that I could, signature moves that I could use here. So I do have expert, right? Which gives me, if I do a move, when I choose from the list, I get one more or one less. I can ask you about a situation that relates to my expertise and you have to answer a question. Or if I share expertise with a crew member, they have advantage going forward. So that's one thing.
I think
and
all
I get
of those could work here.
Right. But then I also have technician as my background. You have intimate knowledge of all kinds of machinery, vessels, and vehicles. When I spout technobabble in regards to a vehicle, ship, or machine, you're modifying or repairing your advantage going forward. So I would say that one as like the hack and crack role.
Yeah, I agree.
And then maybe expert on my background in engineering, technology, and devices, maybe to get pick up their comm system. So there's my master plan to exhaust every move in my playbook. I would love to do all of that, but...
Yeah. No, I think both of those work. So I think if you do the scope it out role and you want to use expert for that, then you can choose one of those additional sort of bonus expertise options that could be helping out Nasir with his role by giving him advantage, or it could be getting some more information than you otherwise would. And I think you can decide which one you want to pick after you do the role. And then we can kind of see, do you want some extra questions because we didn't do as well, or are we comfortable paying it forward and giving Nasir the advantage?
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'll go ahead and I'll roll my calculating, Mo, and like exactly like you kind of laid it out, and we'll get this dice rolling.
All right, my fingers are crossed. Oh, okay, big.
That is
big roll, baby.
A 13. Woo!
Hell yeah.
That's permanent advantage, right?
It's permanent advantage forever.
But you lose
on
one experience.
13, you see through the fabric of space time. No. So on a 10 plus.
I get plus 4 alien?
Yeah. On a 10 plus, your investigation pays off, and you can ask 3 questions from the scope it out list. And also, again, because the move is covered by one of your fields of expertise, you could ask even more questions, or you could, again, give Nasir some advantage when he acts on that knowledge. And I'll answer the questions that you ask, and then you can decide if there's more that you wanted. So,
yay.
Or if you want to just pay it forward.
Okay. Oh, these are all so good. I think specifically like what we're describing, right, is like, can I hack into their comm system so that I can get a pretty precise estimate of how many there are and like what they're doing and where they're going.
Yeah.
So I think what's my enemy's true position is a lock on that one.
Okay.
And then I think that, so Mo, I could use some feedback. So I'm thinking, where's my best escape route when way past? How can I best end this quickly? Or who or what here is a useful opportunity?
I think it's how can I best end this quickly? What's my best escape route? And what's my enemy's true position?
Yeah, I think that's true. I agree with those.
And then I guess my other question is, did you want to ask an additional question from the list, or did you want to give advantage or do something else from your expert options? I could answer those first and see where we're at too.
Sure. No. I think I'm going to go ahead and give Mo advantage on his roll. I want to keep the wins winning.
All right. So here's what I think you learn looking at the systems. I think you see the communications system, and I think that you're seeing a log of both incoming and outgoing calls from the station itself, and also certain records of internal communications over their network, sort of over their Slate network. I think you can see that there was a outgoing call several minutes ago that was routed through the transmitter on the orbital platform, and that appears to coincide with the time that Nasir and then Arno was speaking to the person who identified himself as Adam. And it seems like that call actually was taken from this room, the one that you're in right now.
Oh, spooky.
That said, looking kind of further down the list, you can see a list of active devices or things that have accessed the network recently. And I think you can see that there were dozens of personal devices accessing the network up until the time that coincides with when the FIV attack on the facility would have occurred. And at that point, you can see groups and then a large number of those devices having gone offline or dormant and not connecting to the facility. So it seems that somehow they were prevented from connecting or disabled the slates of everybody who is not one of the FIV operatives here. It seems like the slates that are being used to connect did belong to some of the researchers here, which I think makes sense given that they would not be able to necessarily connect third-party slates to this network. It's kind of a closed setting. But also, I think that makes it difficult for you to tell from this position if this was an inside job or if this was somebody that came off the planet. And I think, you know, based on the questions that you asked, I won't be able to give you that.
Sure.
Damn.
Looking at that device list, you see that there are 5 slates currently connected to the network. And all of them appear to be either in or in close proximity to that common room or mess that you infer the hostage video, the one featuring Eliza Stone, was recorded. And at least even with the other two having moved there. So it seems like that is the destination where the two people that came from around the hallway earlier, that's where they headed to, is on the other side of this facility in this common room. So that appears to be their kind of main HQ inside this facility. In terms of your best escape route, way in or way past, I think that unless you're going outside the facility and risking moving through the airlock on the other side, which might have a higher risk of detection, I think the only way between the two structures is this sky bridge. But once you get to the other side, you can move down the hallway sort of away from that nest or common area and into the kitchen facilities on this platform. And there's a kind of opening or a window that would look into that room. So kind of behind the counter that people would get their food from. And so using that, that could give you cover in an advantageous position that looks into the, again, that common room or that mess without having to go in the front door. In terms of how to best end this quickly, though, I think that looking at this schematic, there are a lot of rooms in this facility, but several of them, the access is relatively limited, including at the sort of broadest level, the two different sides of the facility. So the smaller, more control area that you're in now and the larger space that the FIV operatives are currently all located in. And so I'm going to actually turn it over to you and ask, is there a way that Mara thinks she could end this quickly by luring these operatives to one particular location? And what do you think that looks like? Because I think that's the answer to your question.
So to me, just kind of like hearing your description and from the totality of what how you describe this facility's layout, my gut says I want to kind of lure them to this half. Like if we have two large buildings connected by a sky bridge, I want to lure them to the side that I'm on, because I'm assuming all of the, or the majority, hopefully all of the hostages are on the other side of the sky bridge. So I guess Mara's gut instinct is to mess with the atmosphere or electrics, you know, as we've previously described. Then they send the majority or a few of their people over here to the control room to fix it. And then we, you know, shut down the sky bridge, locking over half, literally every single one of them is going to do exactly what I say, right? Of course, because I got a 13. Obviously. That's how it works. Yeah. So I just want to lock them. But I think that's what Mara thinks, right? She wants to lure them over on the other side of the sky bridge and then lock it when we're safely across somewhere.
Okay. I think that works. And I think maybe the way to implement that's kind of a funny proactive way of thinking about this. You know, we had talked about rolling act quick maybe and sort of what that would look like if you were trying to hack it from here. But I think what you're just able to do is you're able to install your remote connection to the system and you could lock down the door at the time. And I think maybe the move is at the time you want to implement the trap, maybe it's once again plans within plans at that point. So I want to kind of lay that down. It's kind of more proactive plan, but I think you're able to install your access point to the system and we'll resolve what happens at the time that you're trying to implement it.
Gotcha. Sweet.
There is one other piece of information I want to give you, though. And maybe this fits somewhere in between what's your best escape route and what's your enemy's true position. And that's that you look over to the shuttle control system screen. I think it takes you a little bit to understand what you're looking at, because this is not a type of system that Mara would be personally familiar with. And it seems like it is extremely bespoke or custom to this planet, because there are not a lot of other environments that humans are operating in that are as dangerous as this planet's surface, in the sense that space, you know, certainly if you don't have a suit or the correct protections, that is a risk, but the space isn't eating away at your clothes as you're moving through it. And it's the lack of pressure and the environments of space are something that this many hundreds of years later we are used to operating in, but this planet is kind of something else entirely. That said, you notice two things that sort of jump out to you. One is there appears to be a shuttle on the landing pad in this facility right now.
Woo!
And programmed into that shuttle is a route from this landing pad at this facility on the planet's surface up to the orbital platform.
All
and
right.
It could be launched either from the shuttle itself with the proper access to the systems here in the compound or from this room.
Okay.
The other thing that you notice is there is one other shuttle that is listed as active right now, and it is in a highly elliptical orbit. And what that means is, for those not space nerds, is it is moving at a path that is taking it very far from the surface of this planet. And in fact, when you look at this, it's currently almost at its furthest point in that orbit from the planet and is then routed to return to the orbital platform. And those are the two kind of active shuttles right now. The rest appear to be docked at the orbital platform.
Okay. Well, we got one.
Not bad.
All right, Muhammad, you have advantage. Make them choke on the air they breathe. I mean, do your thing.
Oh.
So the problem is that we don't know where the hostages are. So, like, I'm not sure what to do here. Part of what we wanted to do, so, like, I also, like, I'm not sure our plan anymore, because if we want to get them on our side of the sky bridge, I don't know how we get the hostages back. Like, we got a lot of info. I just don't know what to do with it. And so, like, I mean, I guess act quick is correct, right? Like, I'm going to figure it the fuck out. But, like,
it seems to me like what Mara wants to do is split their attention such that some of them have to come to this side of the sky bridge where they'll be isolated. And presumably, like, the hostages will be left back wherever they are. And then we'll pick off some of them and then be able to address the rest rather than having to address all of them at once. Is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, we could also, some of us could sneak into that side as well if some of them are distracted over here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know I picked up the active comms and, like, the offline comms, but yeah. Are there comms that are, like, ported into the system that I could see as, like, a physical location showing up on the schematic in front of me?
I think what you're seeing is what, like, antennas they're connected to, if that makes sense. I think with the questions you asked, right, I don't think that you're able to pick up the content of their communications, right? So you're not able to eavesdrop on what they're saying to each other or how they're using the slates. But what you are able to do is see their, you know, what's my enemy's true position. You can see that they're connected to the antennas that are in and around that mess right now. And if they were moving, I think you'd be able to maybe track the movement in some way. I don't know if you can do so remotely, though, from your slate. I think you can do that from this room, or you could at least, you know, where they are right now. And if you did a distraction, you could kind of infer that they might follow that.
All right, then I'm going to dive in on the environmental systems to see if I can set up, like, a delayed alarm to lead them over here after we've had a chance to cross the sky bridge.
Okay. I think that's probably going to be act quick unless you have another move for that. Before we roll, though, let me just ask, what do you want the alarm to look like? Is it like a fire alarm, an intrusion? Kind of what false signal do you want to send them, just so I can kind of think how they would react to this?
Oh,
like a leak in the environmental system? I think there's a lot of different ways that this could go.
Yeah.
What would attract, like, multiple people, right? Like an animal has gotten in or something?
What would attract a bunch of people that they wouldn't think was, like, a trap from us? Like, is it incoming communications or is it just something a little more benign sounding?
Oh, I think it's been hit by a lesser asteroid. I think that, like, they're getting readings that, like, the facility has been breached by an incoming projectile and, like, the building is, like, under dire threat.
Oh, shit. All right. Do you think that that has the potential to attract people?
We did say their, like, sensor systems were shitty.
And I think that's probably saying, like, experiments in danger, breach must be sealed immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think it's like a bomb went off. I think that, like,
yeah, like a hole in the outside. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, I like that a lot. All right. And do you have a playbook move or is it just act quick?
Oh, no. I'm just acting quick.
All right.
With advantage.
This is the maximum possible success. So, and I'm saying that now just so you can fail.
It's a 12. A big, beautiful 12. Woo!
The last time Mo got advantage, it didn't end this well.
The last time I had advantage and +3, for what it's worth, I rolled 3 ones twice, which, for those of you keeping track at home, is like
Yeah.
Whatever 144 squared is. Like, it's just this an insane probability.
For everyone in this way, in that infamous arc finale, after we ended the recording, Mo didn't believe the results in the dice roller and decided to roll three dice at home, and it was the same result, which was just truly cosmic. So throwing that out there for everyone at home.
The likelihood of rolling six ones in a row is like 1 in 46,000, just for everybody's reference.
It was impressive.
So I was supposed to fail.
I think this time you don't fail, though. And you succeed, and I think you see a kind of countdown timer pop up for all of the... It's kind of like you're in the admin panel, and it's like, oh, trigger test messages at time equals whatever, and you're just kind of hacking into this thing. How much time are you giving yourself before these messages start to trigger?
I'm going to set like three triggers, I guess. One at 5 minutes, that's like unknown projectile detected. One at like 6.5 minutes that says like impact imminent. And then one at 7 minutes that's like danger, like breach, experiments in danger, hull breach must be sealed immediately.
Atmospheric contamination.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just fuck you.
Get over here now. Get over here now. Get over here now.
And what are you saying to the rest of the party as you set this up, or once you're kind of ready to implement the plan over the headsets?
I think I'm just sort of muttering to myself as I set this up, and I'm just like, places, everybody, places. And then I hit the button.
Hello, it's Haley. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you're enjoying the show. Okay, now listen in. The rest of the team is expecting me to tell you to share the podcast with, I don't know, I guess people who would like it or something. And yeah, tell your friends and family. Talk us up at work. Hell, tag us at Worlds Away Pod on social media. But here's what I really want. I want you to share us with someone you think would hate this. You know that person in your life. They get way too into the things that they dislike. They have a critique for everything. That's who I want. Compliments, they're fine. But what I really feed on is the spirit of the haters. Bring them to me. Oh, shoot. Hold on. They're coming back. Hold on. Okay. And you can find us online at worldsawaypod.com. Thanks again for listening. Now, back to the show. Remember what I said. Haters.
So I think we can kind of montage this next part a little, or kind of skip forward a bit as you set up for your plan implementation. But where is everyone trying to be positioned? And are you all moving across the sky bridge to the other side? Or what's the kind of general game plan once you leave the control room and the airlock area?
I think we probably all want to be on the bigger building side of the sky bridge if we're diverting people there. I don't think we want to be stuck with those folks.
And where, once you get to the other side, is your plan to sort of use that way in that I described of moving through the food prep or kitchen area into the side room from this main mess or common room? Or is there somewhere else that folks want to go? You know, if you have questions or want to set it up a different scenario, I think you have the schematic and I can describe what the best spot is.
Yeah, I think we still need more info before we just like run in guns blazing. Want to be optimally positioned, like positioned so that they move past us, whoever's going to check out the asteroid hit that we've invented, move past us without seeing us, and then move into position to get a good, I might even roll, scope it out again, use my scanner. I have like one last use of my scanner to see if I can get any advantages to seeing where are the hostages vis-a-vis like the position of FIVE operatives.
Yeah, I think you totally do that. And are all of you sticking together, or is the plan to kind of split up in any way? Or do we see all of you moving down the sky bridge and toward the kind of food prep kitchen area?
So I think the thing is, like, the food prep kitchen area provides a lot of really good cover to be able to operate from. But I think that, like, I would want at least one person, probably me, maybe another person to join to, like,
find a way to get into the main mess area to like more closely neutralize if needed, or to split their attention. So like if some activity is happening from the food prep area, then that's catching their attention. If something's happening somewhere else, like we want to split them up even more if possible.
Like a pincer move. Mm. Okay.
I think I'm probably trying to be a distraction. I think I would try to get escorted in, like to be seen.
Oh, really?
I don't think so.
Oh, I do. I think if the focus is on me, I don't think it's on the hostages. And I think that creates a lot more room for operation for the rest of you.
I think because the focus would be on you, they would know that they've been infiltrated and immediately know that the only thing that they could do is get a hostage to like stop us or slow us down. The other problem, too, that I want to name strategically is, like, I've sort of doomed myself by maxing out my gear slots right now with a very imprecise weapon, a shotgun, in a crowded room. And so, like, I'm not going to be able to get a clean shot off on anybody. I'm going to need to get up close and personal very quickly. And so if you distract them, that's great if I can immediately act. But, like, only if I'm in a position to where, like, I can immediately act. Otherwise, like, they're just, you're putting a hostage at risk.
It could be like an immediate distraction. Like maybe you like, if you literally walked into the door to the room and you're like, oh, hello, like I'm surrendering or something like that.
Right. That's my intention is to say like, I am here to discuss terms with you. I am unarmed. Like, that's what I'm saying, I think, is the distraction here.
I will just say I have my invisibility or my tactical cloak. So
that does present some opportunities.
It definitely means if there's a couple people left, two or three people left, and I'm able to get inside the room with the tactical cloak on and get up close to one of them, I could like hold a gun to one of their heads or something, you know, like I could definitely
kick him in the crotch.
If I were going to go for the crotch, I would go with the Bastions.
That would do whatever you want to their crotch. Fuck them up.
I don't like that.
That's I mean, we're like creating this reality together, right? We can be as descriptive as possible as long as it's crotch-based.
I like how Lauren's like trying to justify like
attacking the crotch. Yeah, I mean, come on.
So I think it also opens the door for, like, if the point is to gather some intel, I mean, between that and the scanner, I think you have a lot of opportunities to gain some info.
I think the thing of it, too, is just, like, our timing is tight because, like, they get locked into the other side. How long before they realize they're locked in? How long before it's communicated to the people that are left behind that they're locked in? And then how long do they react before they think something's up? Right. So it's just like, I don't think we have the luxury of like, oh, they get locked in and then we assume that they're like wondering what's happening. I think we should assume that as soon as they get locked, we need to act.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that, but I do think that I like Mo's kind of creative use of the asteroid and like external damage because it makes logical sense that the system would seal down one wing of the building. Too. And so like, again, like I'm not the GM here, but like until they go to the place that it's saying there's damage to and they see there's no damage, or they also might believe that the thing's on the fritz, are they going to logically jump to, we've been infiltrated, like start shooting the hostages? I don't know how crazy they are, but I do think like that was a, like a really artful way of kind of dodging, you know, suspicion.
I want to counter that by saying that like Arno's general assumption is that there is a possibility that this is an inside job. And if this is acting outside of their expectations for how the base would react to that notification, then they would know immediately and know to react. And so that's why I think it needs to be quick.
Oh, I'm not saying not quick. I just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we will find out. I agree, Lauren, that that does open up some possibilities. And I think we'll find out how it goes at the appropriate time of rolling. So maybe to facilitate things a little bit, I'm going to send you a map I've quickly prepared. I was kind of using this myself, but I'm going to share it with the group. So please don't judge, but I will send it all your way and you can all sort of assess your plan or how you want to tackle entering this room or setting up your positions.
Oh my God, this is beautiful. John, I don't feel worthy. This should be hanging from the Sistine Chapel ceiling. Just it's paint not. Over Michelangelo's work.
I'm weeping. Trash. I'm weeping externally and internally.
I feel bad for our listeners that they just won't be able to look at this.
All right. So based on this map, I think we head in and like someone hangs out in the storage closet and someone hangs out in the kitchen.
So I think it makes sense to split up actually into three groups on this, Mo. So I think the storage closet makes sense. Hanging out by the lab to the north side of the mess hall also makes sense because they could just have guards on either side of the door. And maybe we want to just like take them out very quickly, and then having a third group that's in the kitchen or trying to be in the kitchen, I think is the way to go. It gives us the most opportunities to like see the most of the room, as much of the room as possible.
I will just flag, you know, what you're describing, Mike, involves a lot of movement through the hallways, right? And I don't think that that's no cost, right? I think that that's your like most exposed position and is what carries the highest risk of detection. And so I think to move through the hallways, that's going to involve some check to see if that is successful or not. I'll put it that way.
I think that we're probably like, yes, there's a risk that someone comes in through that other door, but we did like do a sensor check to see if we could find like there's no indication that there's other people, right? We got four access blips in the mess, and like there are five of them total.
I think there were five in and around the mess is how I described it.
Oh, I see.
Sorry. So that in everyone we're aware of is in or around the mess hall.
Yeah. But there's two doors to the mess.
Right. But none of them were in the kitchen. Is that correct?
I don't think that you could detect one way or another. The thing that you got is that they were connected to the antennas that were located again in the in or around the mess area. If one of them is in the kitchen, I think it would be difficult to tell from that information without being there physically whether one of them is inside the kitchen or not.
This is kind of why I wanted to use my last sensor roll to scope it out to see if we could get one last like bite at this apple.
Yeah.
And so I know we're doing a lot of talking about this. But I'm just going to throw it out there again. I would like to do that roll before we made another plan because we could be like operate under better information.
Yeah.
I just wanted to like, where's everybody like what side is everyone going to, if that makes sense? If all four of you like went to the kitchen, you would get information. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not here to like deny you information before you make decisions. It seems like everyone wants to make decisions before getting the information. And that's the tricky part. So yeah. Like, I just want to know where we see you going, and then I can figure out what the dice rolling is that determines the outcome of that based on where you're going, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. I think we're trying to just avoid them, right?
Right.
If going into the kitchen and the storage closet avoids them, great.
That's the best. Going out of the hallways and out of the open is the best way to avoid someone seeing you in the hallways.
So I think our first initial move is to go wherever is the most cover, do a beat of recon, and then launch our actual plan.
I think you can imagine looking at this map that both the kitchen, I think you're going to have the cooking equipment, the walls dividing the space.
Yeah.
You know, there's probably those like wire racks and stuff in there. I think that would provide good cover. And I think similarly, if you were able to get into the storage room that's across the hall from the kitchen, and you see from the schematic, this looks like a storage area for a lot of the, it's not just for the kitchen, right? It's not like a small area. This is for a lot of the supplies that are being brought in from these, you know, orbital automated shuttles. And so I think that you would imagine the room would be, you know, to the extent that there are supplies left on this platform, obviously they were moving a lot of stuff out, but that could be a place that provides some cover, and that somebody wouldn't necessarily have a reason to go frequently in this kind of current hostage situation. So I think either of those works. It kind of just depends on like what's the next move that you'd want to make.
I don't mind splitting half goes to storage, half goes to kitchen.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the storage room.
Okay. I'll go with you.
All right. So Arno, you're going with Leela then to the kitchen?
The only reason I don't like the kitchen is that, like, again, you mentioned that there's like a narrow window through here, and my only weapon is a shotgun. And I cannot use that to shoot into that room, but you all might have more precise weapons, like a handgun or a pistol or something.
What room are you planning on going? Then, like, Mike, where would you like to go?
I would like to go to the storage area.
Okay, I'll switch with you.
Yeah.
I'll go to the kitchen. That's fine.
Okay. So I think the riskiest part of this, in terms of the movement, is making it from one side of the skybridge to the other. In the sense that, on the skybridge, you're pretty exposed, and the entire length of it, you know, if you're like sort of halfway through, it gives you a limited amount of time to sort of clear the distance if somebody comes out of one of the doors. So my question is, how are you approaching that, and what does that look like for the audience as you kind of try to transit from this side of the structure to the other side?
I think the best approach for this is to try to go quickly. Maybe we're going in a straight line and trying to like take hurried steps, but not necessarily like loud jogging, stomping type situation.
Yeah.
I want to be probably at the front ready. So if we encounter anybody, rather than like having to wait to react, I would rather just like have the opportunity to take some action to neutralize that person if we encounter anybody.
Okay.
And I definitely think Mara is trying to glean as much positional information as she can from the kind of results of the roles that I've done before. So if there's any drastic movement that would show up on her slate, she's going to try to call out about that. But then, of course, I think we're getting to the point where we're so close to them, we could probably, if they started running or moving quickly or something, we could probably hear them.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense.
I also cast Pass Without a Trace.
Oh, yeah. There you go. All right. Well, everyone gets a +5 to something. I don't know what it is, but...
It's a +10 to stealth rolls, John. Come on, get your head out of your ass.
Not bad. So, Lauren, I know that you just did a bunch of scope it out rolling, right? I think there's kind of two ways to think about this. In terms of the information you get, I mean, if you wanted to use the scanner and see, like, oh, when's our best time to make the run to do the move, yeah. I would allow that. And I think that also, whatever the question is or questions are that you ask for that, I would let you apply that to the situation on the other side of the sky bridge also. I think alternatively, if someone else was like leading the group in this kind of, oh, we're going to move as fast as possible, and like now's the time, and that's a act quick role, I think that that works too. Up to the group how we decide this. I think that either approach works.
Mike, what is your juggernaut move?
Oh, this is fun. I might have a better one than juggernaut, but I'll tell you now. When you move forward unflinching towards a goal through an immediate danger or hazard that others cower from, discharge this move to roll +starward. On a 10 plus, you are unstoppable. Choose 2 on a 7 to 9. Awareness creeps into the edges. Mark 1 stress and choose 1. I can take 1 less harm. I can clear or uncover a way for an ally. They have advantage going forward if they are following me, or you unquestionably reach your goal. But that is not the move that I would take in this situation.
Yeah. The thing with juggernaut is kind of like plowing through. I could imagine an argument about how it's like, oh, you go really fast and you clear away, like, and that would give somebody advantage. But I think that that would then mean that somebody else still has to roll some dice there.
Sure, sure.
So that is not the move I would take in this situation.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry about that.
No, it's fine.
Do you have a move?
I do have a move, but I kind of want to save it as a reaction is the thing. So if we encounter anybody, this okay. is the move I want to say. It works for what Lauren's proposing, but I really want to save it for something a little better. A little more urgent. Excuse me.
Not better. Every role is important. Okay. Yeah. I think that maybe, barring any objections, Lauren, if you want to do the scope it out roll with the scanner, again, you do get advantage, but yes. That is the third and final use of that gift all that right. keeps on giving.
Okay, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So that's all a right. mixed success.
Woo! So, okay, one away from where we wanted it to be, but that's okay. All right, so on a mixed success, 7 to 9, your perception's a little dull, and you can ask one question from the scope it out list. And I kind of get what you're getting at. Again, I think there's a lot of questions that could work, and I think almost more the question that you ask is kind of determining the bonus information in some way, as long as it could apply to this timing question. So with that in mind, I think go ahead and ask, and I can give you the information both in terms of crossing the bridge and then also what you might encounter on the other side.
I think the first and foremost is, where's my best route way and way past? And so I wanted us to successfully get across this bridge, like, undercover, right? Like, I don't want to be detected. So I don't necessarily care that I know where all of the enemies are right now. I just need to know there aren't any eyes on us as we move.
So I think that looks like is you have the scanner out and you're seeing again on the readout from the display inside the control room that you saw that all of the slates were connected to the antennas around the mess. And I think that looking at the blips that are kind of detecting the movement, and it could even be very minor movement of people, you see several dots clustered inside that mess. I think the dots that you're seeing, maybe it's these kind of red blips that are superimposed over the schematic, you know, again, trying to video game this a bit. And maybe it's kind of like, oh, the blips can kind of merge together or separate depending on how close they are to each other. So it's like, oh, if there are two people right next to each other, you might see one blip and then it could kind of like separate into two. And that would be a possibly scary moment. I think the thing you're noticing is that there's a few occasional blips and some kind of scattered, like minor movement inside that room. But it seems like from surveying the situation that the only people really moving around the room are these five dots that maybe correspond with the five slates that were active and seem to be continuing to communicate on the system. And so to the extent that there are hostages in the room, it seems like they're being kept stationary in some way or otherwise aren't really triggering the the readings. So, I mean, you can kind of assess the tactical situation with that information. I think that you're all like lined up and about to make your move down the sky bridge. And maybe you're not talking at all now and only using the hand signals. And I think you're about to move out. But then, Mara, you kind of hold up your hand as it looks like one of the dots goes and is about to approach the door into the hallway closest to the sky bridge. But then it seems like they kind of just continue to move around the room. It almost looks like they're pacing. At that point, you kind of give the go-ahead signal, and the four of you, as quickly as possible, make your way across the sky bridge into the next junction. That's kind of the outer hallway of this larger of the two buildings in this scientific complex. So, Mara, you and Leela hook a left to the kitchen area, the door that enters there. And Nasir, you and Arno continue to the door to the storage room that's sort of across that hallway from the kitchen. Are you just trying to like quietly open the door and duck inside, both of you? Or what's the kind of game plan now that you've reached your immediate destinations?
I'd like to just go about the storage room, see what's in here, and see if there's anything that might like... I want to see what's in here.
Okay. So you open the door and move in and kind of try to close it behind you and then check out the space?
I want to know that the space is safe.
Okay, got it. What about Mara and Leela? And I'll just say, Mara, actually, before I say that, on your scanner, you don't detect any blips inside the kitchen at this point. So it seems like at least you could get in there. That doesn't, you know, mean I'm not saying it's safe or anything like that, but in terms of the way in, I mean, you could get into that room and then make your next move without at least immediately facing opposition.
Right.
Yeah, I think when we get in there, I want to see what's happening in the main mess.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I don't know if I need to, if I can kind of sneak glances or if I need to activate my tactical cloak to camouflage myself more, but I want to, you know, get a view into that room that we're looking into.
I also, while you're thinking, I just want to point out, I think at this point, we kind of just like hunker down and wait for like the alarm to go off. I don't know if we should make any more moves until that distraction happens. Mm-hmm. Just throwing that out there to people.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me. And I guess the timing, I mean, it sounds like, Arno, you want to kind of immediately check out the room to see what you're seeing in there. And I guess my question for Leela then is, do you want to hold off on your scoping out until the distraction plays out? Is that the game plan, to kind of wait till the alarm goes off and then make your move?
Yeah, I think that's fine. Let's see how many people leave and then we can scope out what the situation is after.
Okay. So I think what that looks like is maybe the first thing we see is the two of you enter the kitchen and you're kind of crouched down near the door. I don't think you're really hearing any conversation at the time from the mess when you walk in, but I think you're sort of crouched together looking at the scanner readout from Mara's display, seeing the blips and kind of waiting for them to potentially move when this plan comes to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
Arno, if you're scoping out the room you're in, I want you to go ahead and roll plus calculating.
Cool. That's an 8.
So on an 8, you can ask one question from the scope it out list.
Who or what here could be a useful opportunity?
And is there anything particular you're looking for in terms of that opportunity? Like, what do you imagine your objective is? To help you enter the room, or is it something else?
I don't know if this is like I don't know what is stored in this room, but because we're dealing with a situation where there's like a lot of people, I'm wondering if there's something that I can use to like obstruct movement in the other room, or like keep a door like open or closed or something to that effect.
Got it.
Or maybe Arno's looking for a gun that's more precise than a shotgun.
Oh, I have an idea for that. Don't worry about it.
That's terrifying. All right. So, I mean, I'm definitely going to give you something on your first question. I think you're in a storage room and there's definitely going to be something helpful. But I think if you asked or what here could be a useful opportunity, I'm going to also give you something else that maybe harkens back to some of the earlier questions you were asking in this episode. In terms of the object to, I think you had said you wanted to be able to prop open a door or block a door. I think I'm going to turn it over to you and say, I mean, you're in a storage room and this is a space that is holding a lot of the supplies to support this habitat in an extremely hostile environment, right? And I think there's a lot of maintenance that comes along with that. You know, that said, I think it's pretty stripped down. You can see that a lot of the stuff is packed up because they were abandoning this facility, in the process of abandoning it, when the FIV attack occurred. And in fact, I think you see that there are some partially packed boxes in this room. So it's almost as if when the hostage takers arrived or struck their plan, they were caught in the middle of finishing loading out this sort of shipment of supplies. And so my question is, what do you find in that box, or what do you think is a useful piece of equipment that you find in this space that would help you achieve the sort of plan that you had in mind?
I think that one of the things that would have been left behind until the very end is something to help with the hostile environment. And I don't mean the living beings over here, but just the actual environment itself having a degrading effect on a lot of the suits. And so if there are holes that ever pop up in the base, they need to be patched up. And I think that there's a putty, and it's very strong and it's resistant to corrosion. And I think what we find is containers of putty that are quick sealing and very, very durable when they make contact with oxygen, that can form like a bond on just about any surface.
Space super glue.
Space super glue.
From the mollusks on this planet.
Yep. Mm. That's right. 100%. That's where we got it from.
100% mollusk made.
Mollusk milk.
All right, I'm gonna reject the mollusk milk part. I think we figured this part out on our end, so without milking any mollusks. But I think we have this space super glue. Is it like a kind of AB?
You heard it here first, for folks. John is anti-mollusk. John is mollusk phobic.
Yes, Mike. Is it like a? Do you know like AB compound? Do you know what I mean by that? Is that Is it like, oh, so you mix the two parts and then it seals immediately? Or is it just like, oh, I know you said the contact of the oxygen. Is it just a single thing? What do you think it is?
I think it's an AB compound. I think that there's just like a mixture over here, and it's like a squeeze tube. So like they're in separate containers, and when they get squeezed out of the bottle, they make contact together.
It like merges.
And that's when the reaction happens. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, yeah. So like almost like a toothpaste. I think it's like a toothpaste tube almost.
It's a double barrel toothpaste tube. Okay. I love it.
Yeah.
So I think you find a big one of those. Maybe it's like a stupid big like cock gun, you know what I mean? Like it has the kind of thing you pull back, and it's like you're holding it and kind of I said cock, haha. But
no, you said stupid big cock is what you said, and no. I will be editing that.
All right. I think maybe Arno, you're handling this and
stupid big like, cock.
God damn it.
I'm so sorry.
All right, never mind. My narration was dumb. It doesn't matter. It's fun. No, but I think maybe the shot is you kind of picking this up and assessing it like you would another weapon, just given that that's Arno's wheelhouse. So you're kind of holding this in your hand and assessing the weight, etc.
Let me ask, would this occupy a gear slot if I wanted to use it?
No, I think you just get this one.
Okay. I'm going to...
I'm not saying that you can keep it with you indefinitely, right?
No, that's
if it's loot, you have to give up something else. That's kind of how the system works, but...
That's fine. I think I want to give... okay, so I'll pass one up to Nasir, and I'll hold on to one myself, and I'll just say, I think this could be useful for obstructing some movement here, maybe sealing a door so they don't have another exit to get out of.
Useful.
Could be.
Hashtag cock boys.
Super big cock boys.
Big stupid cock.
Big stupid cock boys.
Jesus Christ.
It's not our fault.
This is the serious finale episode, you motherfucker.
We're not the ones who said big stupid cocks. That was you.
I know it was.
We're not even the ones that like paused on that too. You were the one that caught yourself big on this. You put your own head into the gutter.
Cock.
We didn't even say a word. We were all being serious.
I mean,
we just rolled with it. We yes and
I was smiling. This is gonna be so good
with the fucking music over it.
Oh, sorry, we smiled. I forgot. I'm supposed to be to cry as we record. I apologize for enjoying our show.
Yeah, this is not
fun. Next time I'll be as miserable as possible.
Only amateurs waste emotion on joy. You should bottle it up for your characters.
Characters aren't allowed to have joy, Lord. That's why you have to get it all out. You have to get all the joy out so you can be your character properly. Miserable.
So I think after that, you do see one other thing in the room, Arno.
Hmm.
Last episode, when you were approaching the compound, you had seen a figure in a vac suit. Presumably they were in a vac suit. I don't know if you actually got vision on them, but you had seen somebody going and looking down from the top of the cliff, trying to kind of look down to see if there was any movement in the valley. And so somebody had gone outside of the facility and had sort of been out doing a patrol of some kind or looking outside for some reason. I had mentioned that in that airlock on the other side of the facility that there weren't sort of suits positioned on the walls like there were in the Amity. And maybe that's just because in a larger structure like this, they didn't need to use the airlock in that way. There wasn't as much of a premium for space, or it's just laid out differently than it would be on a ship. And I think you see a vac suit in this room, and it's one that appears to be designed for use on this planet. Like, the joints look reinforced. Everything looks a lot more rugged, I guess I'll put it that way, in terms of the exterior of the suit itself. It maybe even looks more environmentally rugged than your military grade suit, but just very bulky, and it would be difficult to move around in effectively. And I think as a consequence of that, you can tell that these suits are tailor fit for the people they're intended for. So the people on this facility that would have been assigned these suits, they are sort of specifically cut to fit their size. So if somebody wasn't almost exactly the same size as the person using the suit, they would have a hard time getting in and out of it. So in that sense, maybe the suit's not perfect for your use as a team. But I think you go and you look at it, and it appears to have been recently used. And you go and look at the back of the collar, and there is a name tag on it to sort of distinguish it. And that name tag says H. Ray, like the initial H and then Ray.
Can we pull up the list of people that we knew were on the facility?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Who is H. Ray?
You look down the list, and I think there's some other H names that you're able to quickly scroll by. And I think you eliminate the list of the people who were accounted for on Ascension Station, right? And you're able to kind of skip through that. So the folks that already made it off the facility, you're able to move through those and only focus on the 38 individuals who were left on the planet at the time the FIV attacked. And looking at that list, you see that there's one name that matches, and that's Hank Ray, who is listed as a atmospheric researcher assigned to the Kairos 5 research facility.
I think I see the name, and I send a message on our comms, and I'll just say, it may be an inside job. Proceed accordingly.
I think I'll respond to that comms with Hank Ray's dossier.
Mm-hmm.
Or at the very least, image and name.
My question is, do you transmit this just to yourselves, or are you looping in Danica Stone at all?
No, I think we are just transmitting it to ourselves.
Four of us.
And I will go so far as to say, because I see this suit over here, the one thing I'd like to do, I'm not going to hide it, but I would like it to be somewhere that it wasn't. So if I can just move it to the other side of the room, if someone's trying to make a hasty escape out of here, any additional time that they have to spend looking for it, like, that would be really helpful. Just that confusion, that opportunity, chef's kiss.
Okay, I think you do that. I don't think you have to do any additional rolling for that. I think moving a suit is something you can handle. I think the benefit that you described, you get that. The cost is, of course, if somebody came in the room looking for the suit and saw it was moved, they would be aware that someone's been in here and tampered with it.
That's
but
fine.
I think with that trade-off, you are able to move it. At this point, I think you're interrupted by the sound of a blaring klaxon in the air. And I think if you had one of the slates attached to this facility's network, you would be receiving the first of the series of warning messages that Nasir had set up. And Mo, can you remind me, what was the first message that was supposed to come through? Was it like impact imminent and sort of information about a smaller asteroid?
Yeah, it was warning, like, unknown projectile inbound, impact imminent.
Okay.
Or no, warning, unknown projectile inbound. And then the next one, warning two, was like impact imminent, brace. And then number three was the alarm.
Yeah. So I think what happens is you see when it's the first, the messages, some kind of staggered but still in quick succession movement of the red dots on the sensor display. You know, from the vantage in the kitchen, I don't think that you can clearly hear what is being said, but you can hear that there's some conversation happening between several people in the sort of mess of the common room area. Mara, you see that the dots kind of clump together as if they're all kind of looking at something together, trying to figure out what's going on. A few seconds later, the second message hits, and I think you see one of the dots move to the door and walk out into the hallway. And then when the third message hits, you actually hear them yell back into the room. And this is the voice of a man yell, "Come on, we have to check this out." And I think then you see two other dots run to the hallway and you see them moving toward and down the sky bridge.
So to be clear, three of them left?
Yeah, I think you maybe see one more of them step out into the hallway for just a second. And maybe it's like they're looking back and forth, but then you see them move back into the mess of the common room.
So at this point, I think that Mara has her eyes on the slate and is waiting for them to all cross the threshold to where she can lock the door behind them.
I think that you see the three shapes and they move across the sky bridge. And I think at first you see them kind of pan out and maybe one of them is still on sort of in the vestibule in between the sky bridge and the other side of the facility. And then I think you see all three dots move to the control room where you were previously. And so now they're all on that side of the sky bridge.
We're going to need to move quickly. They're going to notify the other two that someone interfered with the systems shortly.
And so, Mara, at this point, are you trying to trigger the trap?
Yes.
Okay. In that case, I think go ahead and roll plans within plans.
So is it plans within plans or is it technician? Because I thought I talked about it being technician, but then you said plans within plans.
So I think the move is plans within plans, but I think technician gives you advantage. I think that you need to hit me with that techno babble, though, and explain how you did it.
Okay. And so I just want to have hacked the system so that the doors will lock.
Can I take an attempt at the techno babble?
Oh, my God. Set me up.
I think given the test system, you had to override the system's natural redundancies to trick the system by setting up a scarecrow protocol. So that
the system assumed
that this was a real threat and not a false threat, and like actually shut down insecurity as though the other side was actually attacked or hit with an asteroid.
Okay.
That was such a fucking good political thriller. Like title.
I think we just cut Scarecrow
protocol.
Nasir explaining to like Arno exactly how I did it, because that was phenomenal.
Yeah. I'll allow this unconventional. I do want the one liner that Mara delivers as she presses the button then. I'm going to demand at least that to give you the advantage.
Auto lock override enabled. Enacting Scarecrow plan alpha.
Oh boy.
She's not very good at naming plans. They just go by like alphanumeric, like just Greek. Yeah, systems.
All right. Well, we will all again write our political thriller called the Scarecrow Protocol after this. But
yeah.
For now, go ahead and roll plus calculating with advantage.
Whee.
Oh, I saw Arno's roll and I was like,
okay, not like four, that. Five, okay. Six, seven, eight, nine. So this is a mixed success.
Okay. So on a 7 to 9, you can choose one of the following, and I'm guessing it's you have a trap set up and wait for the perfect moment, but you do have disadvantage going forward because your preparations are not perfect. So,
that's fair. That's totally fair. I'll add win d6 to my roller.
So I think what we see as the audience then is on the slates of somebody that's walked into this control room. It says, habitat breach critical, initiating lockdown. And then the doors on the sky bridge seal up and maybe somebody like runs back and is banging on it, but it is not budging. In the kitchen, what is happening?
I'm out of curiosity. Do we hear any additional interactions between the people on the one side of the sky bridge? And are we hearing like one-sided conversations as they're speaking through their comms? Or do they react at all?
I think that what you're hearing is muffled. I think you can hear people talking as if they're speaking through earpieces. If you want to make out what's being said, I think that that's somebody else is going to have to kind of get closer to the maybe get to the window so they can kind of listen in. Right. They're not yelling or anything like that from the mess.
Sweet.
I don't know if that's a Leela move or if somebody else wants to do that.
So let me pause and just say, I think our eventual goal is to get into the mess here and to disarm or otherwise disable the two enemies who are still in the room, and then like sneak all the hostages out as quickly as possible. So I would like to understand what conversations are being had in there and potentially try to look through and see if I can gauge like body language, like how is the room set up, so I can understand, you know, what is the situation, so I can transmit that back to everyone else. If I need to have my tactical cloak turned on so I can peer out the window without being detected, then I'm happy to do that.
So the way I see it, I think there's two ways that you could approach this. And I think that that's going to determine what to roll. If you wanted to use the tactical cloak, what that move is rolling act quick at advantage. And I think that would allow you to go up to the window and I would describe what you see out the window. And so you could just do that, ask your questions about what you see, and I would give you an answer to describe that space, and you would be able to do that without detection. If you want to just sort of get a sense for what's in the room without using the cloak and take quick glances, trying not to be detected, I think that what you're able to observe is somewhat limited. In that case, I would say you could roll scope it out and ask the questions from the list, and I would answer them with that caveat. So do you have an approach that you prefer? I will say the tactical cloak is really cool, but you know, I want to let you decide what fits this situation.
I think probably right now I want to scope it out.
Okay.
So I'll do that. Oh, that's a 6.
All right.
It's a big old fail.
So mark XP.
I feel like I know how this failed, and I feel like I'm going to be seen.
I don't think you're going to be seen. And actually, before I describe what happens, I want to cut back to Nasir and Arno. Nasir, I think you get a call from Charlie, and it pops up on your suit comms. You hear them say, Nasir, we've got a bit of a problem up here. We've started rigging the Valiant to act as an engine for the platform, when we can hopefully detach before it hits, of course. But to rig the reactor to explode, we had to get onto the platform, and it's completely locked down from the outside. The only craft it's accepting to dock are the automated shuttles. We could try to cut through the hole, force our way in, but I don't think that we have time, especially if we have to solve this engine problem as well.
So, is Charlie suggesting, right, like this is a suicide mission, or do we just need to do this? Like, if I was at the dock right now, could I just open the door? Like, what's the situation?
I think that you get the sense that they didn't intend this to mean, oh, this is a suicide mission. I think they're saying that unless somebody gets on that platform, it will not be possible to rig it to explode. And I think there's not an unlimited window to do that, obviously.
Understood.
So I think whether or not it's a suicide mission kind of depends on when whoever gets onto the platform is able to do so.
And currently we have 3 people locked over there with the ability to get on the platform right away.
Sorry, what are you saying?
There are 3 human beings. The shuttle is on the other side of the skybridge.
No. The shuttle's outside. The shuttle's on neither side. The shuttle's outside. Imagine like, oh, there's a bunch of buildings and then there's like a landing pad, like a helipad on the ground, essentially. That's where the shuttle is.
Oh.
Understood.
I think it seems like your door is like the main door, and that's where people were taking supplies in and out from, if that makes sense, Lauren.
Yeah.
On the map where it's like labeled main airlock, outside of there, that's where the...
Yeah. I just anticipated it was all like one contiguous thing because the atmosphere is like degrading to everything. But I heard. I understand now.
Yeah.
I mean, I notify everybody. I just assume everybody was on comms, to be honest.
Yeah.
We need to get someone up to the orbital platform immediately.
If we act quickly, we can disarm these folks and take a round of hostages up with us.
I check the timer on the asteroid impact window and the timer on the moment of no return for no longer being able to stop it based on Dr. Stone and Charlie's calculations.
Yeah. I think that at this point, right, there are a few hours, maybe it's like a little less than 3 hours before the point of no return. And I think, you know, it probably takes 20 minutes or so to fly from the surface of this planet to the station, plus whatever time it takes to make the modifications. So it's going to be tight. It's not that you don't have the time to make any moves first, but it's definitely, you know, time is running short.
So for the vessel that's currently in orbit, how long before it makes it back to the dock?
Oh, you mean the one that was in the elliptical orbit?
Yes.
It appears more than a day.
Okay, we have one option.
Then we need to move quickly.